Good morning. We're doing Pirkei Avot with the commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah. We had begun the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer, Heve Mimaet Baesek, Vasuk Betorah. Rabbi Meir said, very often we're tempted to make our focus, our livelihood, our business, and Torah. Well, when I'll find time, I'll do Torah. Rabbi Meir says, switch it around. Minimize the amount of investment you do in your business and deal in Torah. A person should be humble next to everyone. And we discussed last week the importance of everyone. Because we all have people next to whom we are naturally humble. And then people who we are tempted to treat in a derogatory way. And Rabbi Meir says, true humility, well, you should be humble next to everyone. That's where we were up to. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Elu harsha'im adubim ha'arayot abtelim mimilacha shehem shevet mochiach. Uvehem ha'kadosh baruch hu nifra min abtelim betalmud Torah, ki lo biyado rotze leshalem, ach al yedei acherim v'midat ha'puranut. Rabbeinu Yonah is really quoting a Gemara here. And he's playing a game with words. The Gemara says in Tractate Tanis, the Romans found a princess murdered. And they didn't know who murdered her. So they came to the closest Jewish town and they said, give over the murderers. The Jewish town said, we don't know who they are. The Romans said, we're killing the whole town. So the Gemara says they were saying we're going to kill the whole town. And there were two brothers in the town, Pappus and Lulianus. And Pappus and Lulianus stepped forward and said, we did it. We killed her. Everyone knew they didn't kill her. The Romans knew they didn't kill her. Pappus and Lulianus knew they didn't kill her. And all the citizens of the town knew they didn't kill her. Pappus and Lulianus were righteous people. It says in a different Gemara, one of the rabbi's sons he lost consciousness, and he seemed dead, and then he came back, and they asked him, what'd you see? And one of the things he described is that in heaven they said there are tremendous people that no one can come close to. Who are they? They are Haruge Malchus, people who were killed by the evil kingdom, the Romans, and no one can come close to them like Pappus and Lulianus. That they were executed for being Jews, because the Romans didn't know a Jew murdered the princess. This was just anti-Semitism. No one knew who murdered the princess, and everyone knew it wasn't Pappus and Lulianus. Now, you guys want the full version of the story, or the short version? You want the full version? Okay, so the full version of the story starts a little bit before this. If I'm not mistaken, it's in the Kovetz Shiurim in his Akdama. He makes the connection that this Pappus is the same Pappus who spoke to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was teaching Torah publicly, and Pappus said to him, what are you doing teaching Torah publicly? Pappus ben Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva said, we have to learn Torah. And Pappus said, but the Romans are going to kill us for it. And then Rabbi Akiva gave him the famous analogy. He said, you know what you remind me of? The fox came to the fish. And he said, what are you guys running around for? And the fish said, well, we're trying to evade the nets. The fishermen are trying to catch us. And the fox said, why don't you do like we are in ancient times, where your forefathers and my forefathers used to live on dry land, which is interesting. Certainly sounds like evolution. The wording of what the fox says to the fish. He says, why don't we do like we used to do? In ancient times, your ancestors were with my ancestors on dry land. Come out with me, and you won't have to worry about the fishermen. And the fish answer the fox. They say, "They say you're so wise, you fox. You're not wise. If here in the water we're scared for our lives, how much more so we have to be scared for our lives if we dare leave the water?" Rabbi Akiva said, if when we're learning Torah, the Romans are persecuting us like this, what would be if we stopped learning Torah? Of course we have to keep teaching Torah. And then the Talmud tells us, end of the story over there, Rabbi Akiva was thrown into prison and he sees in his cell, Pappus ben Yehuda. And Papa says to him, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, wow, you were so right. I'm over here in the cell over nothing. And you're in the cell for Torah. At least you made it for good reasons. I came here for nothing. They were both executed. So the connection is, Papa's was there for nothing. He saw that either he gives his life or he gives his life. Either he dies with the rest of the city or he gives up his life and saves the rest of the city. So he and his brother gave up their lives for nothing. Everyone knew they didn't commit the crime. You said you want the full version. So the full version is we meet Papas elsewhere. In the Gemara in Tractate Kiddushin, the Gemara says there are different approaches to marriage. You have a guy that every time he leaves the house, he locks the door, he locks the windows. He says, honey, I got to make sure. No, you got to make sure you're chaste, right? So every time he leaves the house, he locks everything. Talmud says that was Papas ben Yehuda. Papas ben Yehuda, when he'd leave the house, he'd lock up every door. Talmud says it's like people who approach a cup of wine. One guy, a fly falls in, he tosses the whole cup. That's Papas ben Yehuda. Got to make sure nothing, the smallest thing shouldn't go wrong. Another guy, a fly falls in, he takes out the fly, he drinks the wine. Talmud says that's a normal person. You see your wife, sometimes she says good morning to the neighbor comes to borrow sugar, she's nice to him, she gives him sugar. You see your wife, she's nice to her siblings, she's nice to her parents. You don't run around saying, don't talk to other men, I don't care if he's your brother, I don't care if he's your cousin, I don't care if he came to borrow sugar, don't be nice to anyone. No, you realize that there's a certain normalcy in interaction with neighbors, there's a normalcy in interaction with relatives. So a normal person, even though it looks to him like a fly, there's a certain, you see, the Talmud still compared it to a fly. There's a certain element that every husband has this feeling, I wish he wouldn't talk to any guy but me. But you should know wives have it more. If you come home and say, boy, the neighbor's wife is so nice, you heard she baked cake for all the women that gave birth this week. Your wife is automatically going to feel, why are you saying nice things about other women? Right? She might not tell you that. She might say, yeah, she's so nice. It's so wonderful, right? She knows how to be polite too. But deep down inside, there's this feeling, wait, why are you complimenting other women? You should be complimenting me. So it goes both ways. You see, Chazal still called it a fly that fell into the wine. But a normal person takes out the fly and keeps drinking the wine. He retains his relationship with his wife. He doesn't make big fights over it. And that's it. And then the Talmud says there's a person that the fly falls into the wine. He picks up the fly and he says, I don't want to miss the juice. And he sucks off whatever juice there is on the fly and then he tosses it. That says the Gemara as a man. He sees his wife. She goes out into the market. She's wearing a sleeveless dress. She goes into the bars. She's hanging out with other guys. She's joking with the guys at the market. So a normal person says, this isn't normal. That's disgusting. Why is she my wife or is she joking with other men? Why is she out there doing this? If I come home and she says, watch the kids, and she's going out to the bar, there's something wrong. So there Chazal said, that's a guy who's willing to suck the wine off the fly just to get his last taste. So there's a normalcy, there's a range, there's a point at which you're not supposed to put up with it, there's a point where every person should live with it, and then there's a point that you're not supposed to be so tough. Chazal say Papus was too tough. Papus would leave the house and lock the doors, lock the windows. Who was Papus's wife? So it says Papus's wife was Miriam, you guys heard of Miriam, right? Right, Miriam. Miriam, the one who would do women's hairs for them. Interesting story. Talmud says that one of the rabbis was once talking to the Satan, to the Malach HaMaves. And as they were talking, the Malach HaMaves said to one of his workers, he said, go bring me Miriam. Miriam who does women's hair. So the guy comes back and he brings him Miriam, the wrong Miriam. He says, you fool, I asked you for the other Miriam. What'd you bring me this Miriam for? You killed the wrong woman. So he says, okay, shall I put her back? He says, no, it's done, okay. So he asks him, that's what happens here in Shamayim? He says, sometimes. He says, no, it's an interesting Gemara, right? That's seems to contradict the Gemara about Eov. So the Gemara says, well, how could you kill him without if her time didn't come? The Gemara says she did something dangerous. That other Miriam was dealing with the hot oven, and she did it in a dangerous way, where she could have lived and she could have died. She did something dangerous, and when you do something dangerous, then even if your time hasn't come, it can happen that a person dies before their time. That means a person who drives when they've drank, even though they might come home safely, but they should realize that in Shemaim, even if their time hasn't come, it's possible that even by mistake, they're going to die. And it's possible that if a person does things that aren't safe, very often people say, what's the big deal? You see, I came out okay. No, I don't see that. This week I was riding the bike an hour after I had my brakes checked. 1 hour. And I hit an intersection and my brakes went on me. Boom. I can't stop. And by the time I realized what had happened, I already crossed the intersection. And Hashem blessed me. I know it's an intersection where buses come flying by, and I'm lucky to be alive. So I looked back at it, and I said, okay, what do I learn from here? Number one, I'm not riding this bike anymore. It's crazy. I just had it checked an hour earlier. 4 months ago, I did a check. Previously, I changed the whole brake system to make sure. I said, the bike's a year old. I'm not playing games. I changed the whole brake system 4 months ago. You would think, shouldn't happen, right? So I said, okay, it's not worth it. It's not worth the risk. You see, it's not worth it. Number two, Chazal tell us if a person puts himself in a place of danger and then he comes out alive, he should know that he lost a lot of merits in Shemayim. Yaakov Avinu says, katanti mikol ha-chasadim u-mikol ha-emet. Just because you made it doesn't mean you didn't pay a price. Chazal say you lose a lot of merits. If you go into a place of danger, Yaakov Avinu says, katanti, I have been diminished mikol ha-chasadim from all the kindness you did to me. Yaakov Avinu says, you did a lot of good to me, and I know I paid for it. I lost a lot of my merits. So when I hit the sidewalk on the other side, I started thinking. I said, who knows what this cost me? I'm thankful to be alive, but I don't know what it cost me. I can't do anything, right? There's nothing I could change. But it cost me. Chazal say, when you get a chesed from Shemayim, you should know you lost. So when a person comes out okay from a dangerous situation, on the one hand, we have to know from this Gemara that even if his time hasn't come, he could lose it. That's what happens with that other Miriam. But it's also interesting because maybe the Gemara is alluding to the idea that there's this, even mistakes happen in Shemayim to make sure Yeshu is going to be born, as we will see in a minute, the end of the story of Pappus. Yes?
As far as you and your story, did everything that you could have done, check the brakes, to say that you certainly didn't put yourself in unnecessary danger?
Fine, granted, and still.
Is it just that you could lose something in Shemayim when you weren't negligent at all? It was like last week when you said the person that, leans back on the chair and hits the light to go on, he doesn't have to bring a korban chatat because he didn't do anything wrong. But here in this case, it's like you do lose something.
Certainly sounds that way from Chazal.
But, there's no rhyme or reason for it. It's like somebody who, a woman who goes through a very difficult labor and lives in a, to say that you lose something, it's almost like there's a finite amount of chesed that Hashem has. It's a hard thing. Even the story about the Rabbi Akiva, to go back a little, the other guy, he died for nothing in the sense that he shouldn't have opposed the Torah, because a Roman can take people indiscriminately. What he did, you could say, was heroic.
It was heroic. Yeah. You see, Chazal say he was on the highest level in Shemayim. Yeah, granted, agreed. You see, that's why I began with the story that when the guy lost his consciousness, he says in Shemayim, I heard a declaration that no one can touch him, he's so high. Pappus.
Right.
So that's the balancing.
But in your story, I have trouble with it. Only
well, it's not so obvious that I'm telling you the part of the due diligence I did do. That doesn't mean there wasn't other diligence I could have done also. Okay. So it's a hard gauge.
Yeah. It's the other side that, as I'll say, whenever Elam fought the four kings and the five kings and he was thrown in the fire, he kept his merit taken away.
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's what Rashi says.
Check the Lashon again and tell me if that's what it says, okay? Schercha harbe meod. Those are the words Rashi says. None. Schercha harbe meod. So I think it says it a little differently. Check. Tell me if I'm wrong. Let's see. Back to our story. So Pappus. So Pappus comes to the Romans, him and his brother Lulianus, and Chazal tell us the Romans started asking him, "Nope. We're going to torture you to death. And what are you going to say now about your faith?" So Pappus answers them. He says, well, it must be I'm supposed to die now. And if it wouldn't be you, then their Bonshom has many wild animals, many bears, many lions. There are many ways in which Hashem could have made this happen to me. He chose to do it through, now he doesn't say these words, but what he's really alluding to is he's saying, the wild animal called the Romans. He doesn't say that to them. He says he chose to do it by you. But he's alluding, he's saying, there are all kinds of wicked wild animals out there that could have done this to me. It happens to me, I'm going to fall by you. Rabbeinu Yonah is actually quoting that Gemara here, without telling us he's quoting that Gemara. But before we come back to Rabbeinu Yonah, let's just finish off the story. So Chazal tell us in Hilchos Shabbos, if you write, it's a biblical prohibition. The Talmud says, what happens if you write by scratching on your arm? Talmud says, that's not a normal way to write. Talmud says, really? There was a man called Ben Satida who did that. Who was Ben Satida? It says Ben Satida was a man who traveled down to Egypt, studied their sorcery, wanted to export their sorcery with him. They wouldn't let him. They keep their sorcery in Egypt. So he scratched it onto his arm, and that's how he took out their sorcery. He was able to take notes by scratching on his arm, and that's how he took it out of Egypt, and he brought it back to Israel. Talmud says, you're bringing me a proof from Ben Satida. Ben Satida isn't a normal person. Ben Satida is a crazy person. So Ben Satida did something crazy that doesn't prove that's a normal way of writing. Then the Gemara says, well, who is he, this guy that has the weird name Ben Satida? The Gemara says, oh, that's Yeshu. Ah, so then why do you call him Ben Satida? His name is Ben Miriam. The Gemara says, right, the word Satida is really a conjunction. Satida zo mitachat ba'ala. This woman veered from being faithful to her husband. So Chazal are telling us that all of Papus's care didn't work. Now, Chazal don't give us the insight. We would be tempted to say that maybe it backfired. It had the reverse effect. That because he locked her up, you see, she ended up being a woman of ill repute behind his back, and then she had Yeshu. But maybe it's the other way around. Maybe Papus was very smart, and he saw that his wife had this wild flair to her, and that's why he used to lock the doors and the windows and everything. And maybe it was wrong. Either you should have said, I can't stay married to a woman like this. Or he should have left the doors open, but he couldn't. You can't run a house locking the doors. Chazal don't tell us which came first, the chicken or the egg. I'm not aware of a source that addresses, did she become this type of woman because he locked the door? Or did he lock the door because she was this type of woman? I don't know. I don't know which way it goes. But at the end of the day, now we have the full story of Papus. So, again, Papus tells the Romans, he says, "Harbe dubim lifnei hamakom." God has many bears. Harbe arayot lifnei hamakom. God has many lions. Hashem has many ways he could kill us. And then he's doing it at your hands. Now let's reread Rabbeinu Yonah. The Mishnah says, if you wasted time from learning Torah, Hashem has a lot of causes for wasting time. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Elu harshaim, the wicked, hadubim, the bears, ha'arayot, the lions. Now we see the theme. Rabbeinu Yonah is taking that Gemara, he doesn't tell us that's what he's saying, but he's alluding to the fact the government could waste your time, and he's saying that the wicked government, that's just like the bears and the lions in the story of Papas ben Yehuda, habetelimi melacha, that can cause a person to lose his time. If you're going to waste time from Torah, you should know that suddenly you'll find yourself with problems. The government will tell you you have an Arnona bill. The government will tell you we want you to come to jury duty. We want you to come to a whole bunch of things the government could waste your time with. Yeah, if you waste your time when you could be learning Torah, so Hashem gives you ample cause to take away your time from learning Torah as well. Shehem, that when you see them bothering you and wasting your time from learning Torah, they're shevet mochiach. They are merely a staff that Hashem uses to rebuke a person. Uvehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min habtelim tamut Torah. And Hashem uses the government as a way of paying back a person who is wasting his time from learning Torah. You're wasting your time, so Hashem says, okay, I'll give you jury duty. I'll give you a bunch of a traffic ticket that's ridiculous. Go fight it in court. Go waste your time with it. Ah, why am I dealing with this bureaucracy? Hashem says, if you waste your time from Torah, I'll give you good reason to waste it. Ki lo biyado rotze leshalem. Hashem doesn't want to be the one to directly pay back a person. Ach al yedei acharim b'midat ha'ponut. Hashem finds ways to pay him back through other people. So this is a recurring theme in Chazal. that when we run into different troubles, we should look back and say, wait, why did this come to me? Maybe I really brought it upon myself. And this is a rule also with regards to learning Torah. If a person does his best not to waste time, Hashem helps him that other things play themselves out correctly. If a person wastes time, Hashem says, okay, you have time to waste. I'll give you things to be busy with. And then you won't have a choice whether you'll utilize the time for Torah or not. So that's a very important concept Rabbi Meir taught us this morning. In batalta mina Torah, you wasted time from learning Torah. Yesh lecha betelim harbe kenegdech. Hashem has a lot of reasons to waste your time. You'll find yourself against your better judgment, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to waste your time dealing with them. And we're up to the final line of Rabbi Meir, which we'll see B'ezrat Hashem next week.